Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short hair.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl.
Last week, you heard the first part of an interview with Henry Lowendorf of the Greater New Haven Peace Council discussing his recent trip to Syria. The second part of that interview will be aired next week. To commemorate the 15th anniversary of 9/11, I'm joined today on the show by architect and founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, Richard Gage, AIA. And at the end of the show, I'll be sharing some anniversary events and some new books. So let's begin. Richard Gage, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's great to be here.
You've been on the show many times before, and you've also spoken in public here four or five times, several in the Hartford area, and once in Torrington, Connecticut. So many of the listeners are familiar with your work. But for those who are not or might be new to it, to 9/11 and specifically to what your organization does, could you tell us a little bit about Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth and what you do?
Yeah, we're an organization of more than 2,700 now. Architects and engineers who have staked their reputations, put them on the line in a public petition demanding a new investigation of the destruction of all three World Trade Center skyscrapers on 9/11. And what's fascinating about that is that most of their colleagues, like most of us, me being one of those thousands of petition signers, did not even know about the third tower that came down on 9/11, World Trade Center Building 7. And so we think that since 9/11 spawned two major wars in which 2 million people have been killed, and a $4.5 trillion global war on terror, and the loss of our civil liberties guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution through legislated acts like the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, the 2012 National Defense Authorization Act, that we should at least look at as a society, as a nation, certainly as all groups of building professionals who know a controlled demolition when we see it, that we should reinvestigate 9/11 since it's at the heart of all of this and much, much more that has unfolded since 9/11. So that's what we're about, because we have the evidence for the explosive demolition of all three skyscrapers on 9/11.
I'm thrilled to hear that you're up to 2,700 now. That's really fabulous. You were here back in, I forget the year, I think it was maybe 2011, 2010, where we put on the conference Rethink Building 7, which actually generated enough local energy and a stir about it that we got invited to be on, some of us local people got invited to be on an interview at the local NPR station. And I think that was really due to the credibility of your organization that we got that. And I know you participated in the conference that was here. And again, a lot of listeners know about Building 7, but for those who are unaware, could you talk to us more about why Building 7 is so important?
Yes, and it is very important. For one reason, this is a skyscraper that's 47 stories tall. It wasn't hit by an airplane like the Twin Towers. So most Americans are not even aware of it. And when they are, they don't have the baggage that, you know, we all think we know how the Twin Towers came down. We're also mostly all injured psychologically by the massive death toll and horror of that day. But here's a building that was part of the World Trade Center, about a football field in length away from the North Tower, that survived the small amount of damage that had hit it when the North Tower went down, but which nevertheless, after witnesses heard explosions later in the afternoon, about 5:20, this building drops suddenly, symmetrically, straight down into its own footprint in under 7 seconds. And that is extraordinary because we intuitively know what that is. We've seen it on TV. We have a frame of reference with which to to understand what's going on with that building. And that's why I think the media has not played this on TV. The American Institute of Architects, the American Society of Civil Engineers, has not shown to its membership the third worst structural failure in modern history.
Amazing.
So they're unaware of it. Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. This should have been the most studied building failure after the Twin Towers in history. And yet we'll find that the Twin Towers were not studied. We'll find that this building was not studied. We just simply swallow the official story, hook, line, and sinker. What is that? In the case of Building 7, normal office fires, for the first time in history, brought a skyscraper to its knees and accelerating a free fall. Acceleration as fast as a bowling ball would fall off the side of the skyscraper. That's how fast it came down. That's absolutely amazing. And we go to the shows like the American Institute of Architects National Convention in May in Philadelphia. And we had a big booth, and we showed in that booth video of this building coming down. And we asked the architects, hundreds of them, what's happening to this building? And they say, well, most of them, that's a controlled demolition. And they go, well, we think you're right. You know when that happened? No. We tell them it happened on 9/11. They go, what? Yeah, this is the third tower. You didn't know about it?
Architects don't even know about this building collapsing. That's truly amazing.
Yeah. They're shocked. They literally are shocked. Many of them sign our petition right there. All of them get a brochure, a DVD. They walk away. We've educated thousands and thousands of people over the years. We put a resolution on the floor of the American Institute of Architects with 100 AIA members who signed our petition, including myself, calling upon the AIA to call for a new investigation of this building. And this year, we got 3 times more votes on the floor than we got last year. Next year, we hope to get 3 times more still, because we're accelerating. We're now an approved provider by the AIA of bringing this material to architects, and they can get credit for it.
That's fantastic.
Oh, it's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. I don't even know how it happened, but it happened. And we're going to be bringing this material in different forms. We have a live presentation. We have the Beyond Misinformation booklet, 55 pages of real high-quality technical information. They can get 2 credits for 2 hours of work in reading this. And all that's important, because all the AIA members and engineers who are members of the ASCE have to get 18 credits per year, or 12, I forget exactly what it is, in order to maintain their membership. We're an approved provider. They can watch our film, 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out, and they can get an hour of credit for that.
Wow, that's fabulous. And I wanted to tell you, we use that booklet here on our yearly pledge drive, and it was very popular. We got a lot of pledges because people wanted a copy of that brochure, so I thank you for putting together that. That's an excellent resource.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been great. And we have our old brochure. Did you know a third tower fell on 9/11? Rethink911.org. The evidence might surprise you. And this can be purchased, of course, or downloaded for free in our store and handed out by activists all around the country and around the world to try to awaken people, because this is a grassroots movement, not just an education of the academic professionals, the media officials, the representatives who are elected for our government. Everybody needs to know about this. It is game-changing for our society.
I would agree with you. And I also just wanted to commend you for, you were on C-SPAN in 2014, I think it was, and your show there was on Washington Journal, and you're the number one viewed, most popular show of Washington Journal since its inception. And I think you're number 5 or 6 for all of their videos from since their inception. So that's really, I mean, it says that the people out there want this information. Do you think the powers that be are nervous about this and what your organization is doing?
Well, I imagine that they are. I don't have evidence of that. We would certainly love to be invited back on C-SPAN, so that we can bring more attention to C-SPAN with this issue. It seems to be serving them as their number one video on Washington Journal, TV show program that had us on. So we want them nervous because our government and our media, because they have been censoring the truth about what really happened. They have systematically not shown, particularly the six major corporations who own 90% of the mainstream media, 95% of it, and they have not, with like three times in the history of mainstream media has Building 7 been shown. The Twin Towers, when they show it, they don't show the massive evidence of explosions and explosives going off. Laterally ejected, freely flying structural steel sections 60 miles an hour sent laterally out of the towers, landing 600 feet in every direction. They don't show or talk about that. The gravity works down. And we're told, in fact, that the North Tower, for instance, the upper 15 stories of that building drove the rest of the building down after structural weakening by fire of the steel elements. But we don't see any section of the North or South Tower driving the rest of the building down. We see it completely disintegrating in the first 4 seconds. After that is when we have these witnesses of explosions, hundreds of them, none of which appear in the official story of any of the three towers. We have then no floors stacked up at the bottom of what's supposed to be a 110-floor gravitational collapse. They're all missing. We don't have 90,000 tons of concrete slabs stacked up in some mangled fashion at the bottom of either of these towers. We have a two- or three-story pile of core columns, perimeter columns, etc. Where is the concrete? Well, we watch the videos, and we see that it's being pulverized in midair to a fine powder, which is spread throughout lower Manhattan and which contains evidence of thermite incendiaries. Iron microspheres, the diameter of a human hair, so up to 6% of the dust is elemental iron, not melted steel, and even if it were, I mean, even kerosene in office fires, jet fuel is essentially kerosene, it can't melt steel. So what melted the steel, or what caused the molten iron to appear? Well, molten iron is the byproduct of thermite. Thermite is an incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. So the evidence of molten iron in all these spheres, as well as molten iron pouring out of the South Tower minutes before its collapse, molten iron flowing through the rubble, as the firefighters described it, like lava flowing from a volcano. All of this is direct evidence of thermite, which is damning, but there's also direct evidence of unignited thermite in small red-gray chips found in all this World Trade Center dust laid like a blanket. There's powdered concrete, 100 micron particles of concrete, fine powder, river to river, 3 square mile area, pulverized. Everything was pulverized. And in it, they also find these red-gray chips of nanothermite, a very special form of thermite engineered by Los Alamos Lab, Lawrence Livermore Lab, and even by NIST themselves into weapons-grade thermitic material. Very, very high-tech. This is all documented in a 25-page peer-reviewed paper in the Bentham Open Chemical Physics Journal. None of this material should be found in the World Trade Center dust, which is why I imagine it is not included in the final report by NIST in either the Twin Towers or Building 7.
Isn't it true that NIST denies the existence of that molten metal that all the eyewitnesses, the firefighters, have said they saw for months after 9/11?
Yes, John Gross is valiantly claiming in this presentation that he's recorded in video. I know of absolutely nobody, no eyewitnesses produced it. And so we proceed to include that statement of his in our video, our DVD, 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out, followed by all of the witnesses who contradict him. It's one of the more amusing parts of this hour-and-a-half-long video, which people can see on YouTube, at least the hour-long version, and just search on YouTube, Experts Speak Out, and they'll find 40 high-rise architects, structural engineers, metallurgists, chemists, physicists, controlled demolition experts, all laying out this evidence, which is what we're going to be doing, by the way, coming up this September.
Yes, tell us about that.
Well, it's a two-day symposium, and we're assembling on the second day in front of a group of notable attorneys and famous attorneys, including Daniel Sheehan of the Karen Silkwood fame, and Pentagon Papers and Iran-Contra scandal. He will be providing his assessment along with several other attorneys and a judge, Ferdinando Impassimato, the honorary Supreme Court president in Italy. They will be taking in the evidence that we're talking about today over 3 or 4 hours and then determining whether it meets the requirements. What are the legal standards required for submitting this evidence to a grand jury, and how do we do that? That's what day two is all about. And Daniel Sheehan will be providing a keynote address at the end of day one as well, which includes several other notable researchers and investigative journalists like Michael Springman, like Wayne Mattson, many others. Mark Crispin Miller will be the MC for day one. Bill Pepper, Sirhan Sirhan's attorney, who was accused of assassinating Robert Kennedy and who also had successful civil litigation against the government on behalf of Martin Luther King's family, who was suing the government for killing their husband, and they won.
Right, and I want to just point out he has a new book out called The Plot to Kill King, so if anyone's interested in that, it's a great read.
Say it again, The Plot to Kill?
The Plot to Kill King by Dr. William Pepper.
King.
It's just come out. And it's an excellent book. It gives the whole trial and what they've come up with and who really killed Dr. King, and it wasn't James Earl Ray. So I really highly recommend that to people.
Dr. Bill Pepper will be emceeing day two, so very exciting. He'll be talking about that book as well, and it'll be there for sale.
Yeah, that's really great. So, Richard, what's the name of the conference?
Justice in Focus, 9/11/2016.
Right, and is there a website where people can go to learn about the details?
It's justiceinfocus.org, justiceinfocus.org.
It's going to be at Cooper Union, right?
Yep, and tickets are on sale now, and we'll be live streaming this presentation as well with three cameras, direct sound feed, direct projector feed for the slides, a very high-quality live stream event.
What's up for you after the conference? What will you be doing? What will AE's focus be?
Well, we are going to be mailing, in September, 35,000 structural and civil engineers around the country a very high-quality, glossy, multi-page brochure that shows the problem with the Twin Towers and provides an introductory letter inviting everybody to take a look at this extremely important issue, which is how, for instance, the Twin Towers could not possibly have fallen, collapsed due to fire, because if that were the case, there would be some jolt, some hesitation as this upper block met and was resisted by the cold, hard, intact steel below. So there's peer-reviewed papers put out by Tony Zambodi, Richard Johns, and which directly contradict and pull the rug out from the ridiculous theory by Zdeněk Bazant, which is the foundation of NIST's theory that these towers came down by jet plane impacts and fire. And, of course, fire started by jet fuel, which is just kerosene. So they show that, indeed, what really happens here is that these buildings, the collapse starts suddenly and then consistently drops straight down through the path of greatest resistance, the intact, cold, hard steel below. It accelerates straight down. It does not decelerate. It doesn't even slow down for that steel. It's accelerating straight down through it. So this argument is presented along with the papers backing up the argument, which is an incredible foray by AE 9/11 Truth and our 2,700 architects and engineers into the world that largely knows none of this evidence, has not seen it, has not had an opportunity to respond to it, because the American Society of Civil Engineers and the American Institute of Architects are protecting their members from knowing the truth about what happened. You see, they work for the richest people in the world. These high-level architects and the management of the association are in a very difficult place. They bought the official story, hook, line, and sinker. And now, you know, they're in the position of having to defend themselves and basically deny what we're saying. But we have access to their members in these various ways that we've been talking about. So it's very exciting for us. It is a huge project, $50,000, $60,000 it takes to get these quality mailers out in first-class mail to every one of these.
If the listeners want to help out with that project, how can they do that? Because that sounds like a really worthy project to take on.
Yeah. We encourage people to support the project at our website, ae911truth.org. And if people don't know about this project at ae911truth.org, we encourage you to sign up and get on our newsletter, because we send out mailings 3 times a month or so. And it tells what are the efforts we're making toward getting a new investigation. What's the progress? What are the projects we need to be doing? And this is how we can communicate with you in the 9/11 Truth Movement. So be sure to go to our website and join up, sign up.
Yeah, and I really want to encourage people to do that. There are a lot of 9/11 groups around the world, all doing really great and necessary work. But I think, for me, Architects and Engineers is like the foundation, because you're dealing with the science and nobody can argue with that. And it gives us all a leg to stand on and the credibility that your organization brings. So I think it's a really important foundational piece of the 9/11 Truth Movement, and I really encourage people to support it in any way they can. And your work is just amazing, and you guys don't tire. You just keep going and keep creating these new wonderful movies and booklets and informational pieces, and then you're at all the architectural and engineering conferences, and you know, you're really making some headway, and it thrills me to see all that you're doing. Richard, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
I just want to encourage people to do something about this. It's not enough to say, oh yeah, I know about the controlled demolition. Yeah, 9/11 was an inside operation. I know all about that. That is bullshit thinking. And it can be an excuse to not deal with the deep and dark implications of this, for which we are personally responsible to our own conscience and to our country and our children and their children. We're facing a situation where our country has been hijacked. If 9/11 was an inside operation, which is an obvious implication of the controlled demolition of these towers, then we have to do something about it. Because we are going to get more of what we got otherwise. Every one of us, stand up and do something. What can you do? Well, right from your own computer, you can send the ae911truth.org link to every architect and engineer that you can find and everybody else that you know. That would be a great start. You can volunteer at ae911truth. You can join as a member, ae911truth, for as little as $2.50 a month. You can make a huge difference. So that's what we're really offering people. There's just a range of opportunities to do something, but don't do nothing.
I agree, Richard. I'm really glad that you said that, because if not us, then who? If we don't do it, who's going to? And we have this endless global war on terror that's justified by 9/11, that's killing people around the world. It's bankrupting us. So to not do anything, you do become part of the problem if you're not willing to get out there and do something.
Come to New York also. Come to New York to the conference on September 10th and 11th. And if you can't, tune in by live stream. Tickets go on sale for live stream. Donation we're asking for, not tickets. And you can get your link to the individual live stream platform next week at eventbrite.com.
That's really great. And again, the website is
justiceinfocus.org. Justiceinfocus.org. That's where you can get your tickets and donate for the live stream.
That's wonderful. Richard, thank you so much for all that you do. It's always an honor to speak with you, and thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, Cheryl.
You were just listening to an interview with architect Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And if you haven't already done so, I encourage you to check out their website, which again is ae911truth.org. It's full of lots of scientific evidence about the collapse of the 3 World Trade Center towers. And the information there proves that what the government has told us about how the buildings collapsed just couldn't possibly be true. And now for the events. First, locally, on Thursday, September 8th, 2016, the Connecticut 9/11 Truth Group is hosting author and journalist Christopher Bolin, who will be speaking at the Unitarian Meeting House at 50 Bloomfield Avenue in Hartford at 7 p.m. So again, that's Thursday, September 8th, at the Unitarian Meeting House at 50 Bloomfield Avenue in Hartford at 7 p.m. The title of Christopher Boleyn's speech is 9/11 and Our Current Political Crisis. Christopher Boleyn is the author of the book Solving 9/11. Chris will be introduced by retired New York City firefighter Rudy Dent. And now let's take a look at what's happening in New York City. First, on September 7th, Christopher Boleyn will be speaking at the Brooklyn Commons. And for more information on that, you can go to the website thecommonsbrooklyn.org. Christopher Boleyn will also be speaking in New York City on Friday, September 9th, at the West Park Presbyterian Church at 7 p.m. And again, the website to check that out is westparkpresbyterian.org. And the big event, as you heard Richard Gage talk about in New York City on Saturday and Sunday, the two-day conference, is called Justice in Focus, and their website is justiceinfocus.org, so you can go there to check out those details. Sounds like a pretty interesting weekend. And then down in Phoenix, Arizona, at Arizona State University, they have a club called 9/11 Studies and Outreach Club, and they're sponsoring on Sunday, September 11th, a peaceful demonstration. So if you're in the Phoenix area, you might want to check that out. On Sunday, September 11th, in Daytona Beach, Florida, if you happen to be in that area, they're having the second annual John C. Conley Rally for 9/11 Truth from 12 to 4 p.m. To find out more about that event, you can go to wearechange.org. And the Northern California 9/11 Truth Alliance is having a 9/11 Truth Film Festival on September 8th from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Grand Lake Theater. The title of the event is Exposing the Lie of the Century. And to commemorate the 15th anniversary of 9/11 in Texas, 14 suburban newspapers in the Dallas-Fort Worth area will contain online 9/11 truth ads, which are running for 3 months. There are a total of 4 ads comprised of animated graphics which link to YouTube videos. The individual ads randomly rotate to each of the 14 suburban newspapers. Wow, that's a really great idea to get the truth out there. So those are just a few of the things that are happening around the country to commemorate the 15th anniversary of 9/11. Most of the events that I've just mentioned can be found on the website 911truthoutreach.org. And again, that's 911truthoutreach.org. And now for some new books. Project Censored's 2017 book is out and available, so if you go to their website, projectcensored.org, you can get a copy of that. It's the 25 top censored stories of the year. And David Ray Griffin is coming out with a new book about 9/11. It will be out in October, so stay tuned for more information about that. And on another good note, the Europhysics News published an article by Stephen Jones, Tony Zambodi, and Ted Walter about the science of 9/11. And so that's very exciting that they posted that article. Most mainstream journals will not do that, and they have done that. So it's the Europhysics News, in case you want to check that out. And on a final note, 9/11 Wake Up Call airs on Wednesdays at noon and again at 8 p.m. at WWUH 91.3 FM. And on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. at WESU out of Middletown, Connecticut. And the website for that is WESUFM.org. It also airs randomly at Boston College on Sunday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. And it's now being carried by NoLiesRadio.org. And the shows are all archived at the website RadioForAll.net. And that's the digit for. So RadioForAll.net. And once on the site, look for my name, Cheryl, under the C's, and the show should pop up. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.